So, Lord, we thank you and we bless you and we love you, Lord. And it's so good to just fellowship with the family this morning, God. And we've all been in praying and fasting, Lord, because this is what we do. We've been doing it for every Sunday in January and February, just praying and fasting, Lord, asking for your wisdom, asking for your Holy Spirit, asking for protection, asking for revival, Lord, that you would send your Holy Spirit, Lord, and work through us so others will run to Christ and not from Christ, Lord. And so we just thank you, Lord, for your word. It's a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. It's a blueprint as a Christian on how to live, how to forgive, how to love, how to think, how to act, what to say, what not to say. Your word covers it all, Lord. So we just ask that you would speak to us through your word now. We open our hearts and minds to receive what the Holy Spirit of God. Give us your Holy Spirit. Give us your wisdom, God. Help us understand exactly how we are to function as a believer, as a child of Jesus Christ, Lord. Leave nothing to doubt, leave nothing to question. Bless your people, bless the word this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. So family, with it being first Sunday, it's our communion Sunday, and so we do this in remembrance of Christ because Christ told us to do this in remembrance of him. Never forget what he's done for us. So we take communion the first Sunday. If you are a Christian, if you've accepted Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior, please join us with communion. You don't have to be a member to take communion. You just have to be a believer in Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So we welcome you for that. But make a note, those of you that take notes. And I said, is it up there, Matthew 28 and 1? And we'll get there in just a minute. But make a note that Christ told us to take communion in remembrance of him. He did it with his disciples. The night before he was betrayed, he gave thanks, and we'll talk more about it towards the end of service when we take it. But just understand the reason behind communion, that Christ never wanted us to forget what he did for us. He wanted us to pause and reflect that he had to die, be crucified, and then resurrected on that third day. And he said, do this in remembrance of me, because he knew there would be wars and rumors of wars and death and marriage and divorce and births and other issues, situations, elections, impeachments, helicopter crashes, plane crashes, debates, and all other kind of stuff. And he said, do this in remembrance of me. Keep your life in biblical perspective. The world would look like it's going crazy. Then we have to pause. Take communion and say, God, thank you. That it's not about all the stuff we see, but it's what you did for us 2,020 years ago. Amen. So that's why we take communion, because God told us to. And then we have to pause and put our life in biblical perspective. So just for the word pause, I just have an acronym. So for those of you that take notes, pause, prayer, ask for understanding, strength, and then live in excellence. Let me say it again. Pause. So God tells us to pause. So as you're going through your day-to-day life and just something comes up, pause. Then you pray, ask for understanding, strength, and then proceed in excellence. Amen? Because we can say some stuff right off the cuff and it hurts people. It's not much thought to it because I didn't pause, I didn't pray, I didn't ask. I'm not asking for understanding. I'm not asking for strength, because in my strength, I'm going to say something I shouldn't say. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So as God, what shall I say? How shall I respond? The only difference I see that I have over these years between believers and unbelievers is our response. Amen? If you're a believer, there is a certain way you should respond. You should respond. If you're not, then you on your own. Cuss them out, throw something at them, do whatever. But when you're representing Christ and you're an ambassador for Christ, you got to pause. On your job, as you're communicating with your spouse, as you're communicating with your siblings, with your children, your business, you got to pause. It's a way to talk to people. We have several business owners in here. And you just can't say what you want to say. I mean, you can. I just wouldn't recommend it. So God causes us to pause. We take communion. Got to keep our life in biblical perspective. Oh my gosh. Just from day to day, from week to week, it's just so much that happens. So much going on, and it'll get you distracted and you'll forget that Christ resurrected. And you have to start with the resurrection. Research the resurrection. Look at the results of the resurrection. And we're talking super Sunday because it's Super Bowl Sunday. It's, you know, people are celebrating a lot of things, but our Super Sunday happened 2020 years ago. Somebody say amen. Amen. Jesus Christ, greatest of all time, undefeated, champion, saved us from death, hell, sin, and the grave. To be celebrated every day. So sometimes we get so distracted, we forget that. So Sunday morning is our pause to put our life back in biblical perspective. Wednesday night is our pause to keep our life in biblical perspective. We thank God for that. So I want to just share the resurrection. You might say it's even an Easter message, but it's our resurrection message. But people are going to be celebrating and worshiping teams today. Oh, and I looked it up too. The NFL, just for us sports fans, because I know some of us are sports fans, but the American football started, let's say, in 1869. That's 151 years ago. 151 years ago. So that's Medea's getting ready to be 90. She was almost there, okay? Medea was almost, Medea could have started it, Sister Caraway. But I'm saying, in somewhat in of our lifetime, that's when it started, and people were worshiping that stuff. It was created by a person, and people worship. And y'all know me. I play ball. I appreciate it. I love working out. I love watching. But I don't worship anything but Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. Family, you can appreciate. I'm not saying don't enjoy. I'm saying have fun, scream, yell. But you don't worship anything but Christ. We have a society that's looking, because we were created to worship, they're looking for something to worship. And so whether it's a sports, a game, a person, they're worshiping it. But the first commandment is to love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. If you're worshiping anything else, then you're breaking the first commandment. And then you have to try and determine, do I really have an intimate relationship with Christ if I'm worshiping something else? I'm not saying don't appreciate. I'm saying you can appreciate, but your heart has to belong to God. Amen? So football was 151 years ago. Basketball was 129 years ago. You can dedicate your life to something that's only 129 years old. Then you stand before God and God says, "And I died for you 2020 years ago. 2020. I split time in half from BC to AD. And you committed your life to what?" So family, we have to, as Sister Kathy said, we have to be laborers. We have to be ambassadors just to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't argue about church. Don't argue about that. Just tell them you got to start with the resurrection. Research the resurrection because your eternal life depends on it. Then research the results of the resurrection. Amen? All right, so here we go. Let's see. What do I have? Okay, did I say Matthew 28 and 1? It was the end of the Sabbath. As it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the tomb where Christ was laid. So make a note, those of you taking notes, it's the first day of the week. So some people get on the, when was the Sabbath day? Is it Saturday? Is it Sunday? We know that Jesus Christ is Lord of the Sabbath, so we don't even have to argue about what day that is. We worship Jesus Christ. We don't worship a day. We worship the one who made the day. Amen? And so the Sabbath could be any day that you decide to worship God and put that time aside for God. But it's the end of the Sabbath. And so we know that the, as they call it in Greek or Hebrew, is the Shabbat. And it's from 5:30 Friday to 5:30 Saturday. So make it. So this is God's just puts things in place for pauses. See, that's the Jewish pause. 5:30 Friday, 5:30 Saturday. I was fortunate enough, I think I shared this with you all before, to be in Jerusalem on the Shabbat, on the Sabbath. They shut everything down. They tell you pack all your food or whatever, because we do not cook. Don't think you're going into a restaurant between 5:30 Friday and 5:30 Saturday. Can you imagine our restaurants out here? You close them down on a Friday night? That's the busiest night, right? I remember coming back and telling Lady Tracy's like, you know, I mean, it's just a lot of stuff that's manufactured for us to stress out.
Yeah.
We'd never shut anything down because we'd lose too much money. I remember years ago when we were, me and Lady Tracy, we were in Venezuela, South America, and they have the siesta time. And they shut down all the business, what's it, from 12 to 2? It's like, why are you shutting down? I got to make money. I can't. Well, that's my busiest time. You don't understand. It's manufactured. Money's not the assignment. Money's the tool. Serving God is the assignment. Money's the tool. It's not when you make money your assignment, then that's the problem. You're stressed. We're all stressed out. We got to get somewhere fast. Money's the tool, not the assignment. But society says money's the assignment. And the more you get, the happier you'll be. And we all know that's a big fat lie. So God causes a pause, the Shabbat. And so what they do, and I'm talking to the Jewish tour guy, I say, man, so what do you, he said, we just spend time with God and family and friends and we fellowship for 24 hours. Stop what you're doing, pause, and thank God that you're here. Spend time with everything that you say you love and that matters to you. Come on now. Man, we could use a Shabbat these days. Just a special time. And I've counseled men who say, man, I love my wife, I love my kids, but I got to make this money. So I got to work 7 days a week. I got to make it happen. I said, man, everything you say you're working for is getting ready to walk out the door. Yeah. Man, do you understand what's happening? You've made it the assignment. You've forgotten about everything you said you love. It's you can't have it both ways. Either you trust God that he's going to make it happen within his parameters, are you doing your own thing, and that's that. And be honest with that. Amen? Just be honest. God, I don't think you can handle it, so I got to work 7 days a week so I can provide for my family. And when they leave, then I'm going to say it was their fault. Amen? They didn't appreciate anything I did for them. I worked 7 days a week for them, and they left me. That's what I get for trying to provide for my family. All right, just be honest. Okay? But that's not God's design. So we have the Shabbat, so we can stop, we can pause, and we say, thank God. And get our life back in biblical perspective. Because family, if you don't get off of this merry-go-round called life, then you it's not going to let you off. You got to jump off, and you got to pause this thing. Don't have to tell you that we need to spend time with those that we love, because life is so precious. And we take it for granted. And make a note that no one dies unexpectedly, because that's the only thing that's guaranteed. So unexpected. How can it be unexpected when it's the only thing that's guaranteed that we got to check out at some point, family? It's never unexpected. It's the only thing that's guaranteed. That's why we got to appreciate every day. We got to appreciate our family. We got to let them know it. We got to slow down. We got to slow down. Society's not going to let you slow down. For those of you that haven't been here, we've been talking about the false prophets and the broad road that leads to destruction. It's going to keep you on that broad road. It's never going to let you slow down so you can get on that narrow road, that difficult road, which leads to eternal life with Christ. It says many's going to be on that road, and it's only a few right there. It's never going to let you slow down and get off that broad road. It's hoping you stay on there. The enemy's hoping you stay on there. Until you die, and then you stand before God, and God says, I never knew you. We're never intimate. We never hung out. I can't marry you because I don't know you. We talked last week on we're the bride of Christ. God's going to marry us. It's going to be a holy marriage. Christ is the bridegroom, and we're the bride. And I don't know about you, but I'm not going to marry anybody I don't know. I'm not going to marry anybody I haven't spent time with and got to know very well. You might be a little different, You might be one of, what do you call this, a risk taker. I don't care. It's going to work. Love at first sight, I'm doing it. God's not like that. God is saying, we never hung out. You never spent time with me. I don't know you. I mean, it's just like, I'm thinking about this. I don't know. I'm going to get to that. I just think too much. Right? So when I went to LMU, the Lakers practiced there, right? So, and that was back in the early 80s and Magic. So we go out to the practice. Magic's there. Kareem's there. Norm Nixon is there. Who's that? Byron Scott, James. So Magic was really cool. Magic would always stop and talk and all that kind of stuff. And then when I graduated and I started teaching, I would bring my students up there and they would get a chance to meet them, take pictures and all that. But if you would go to Magic Johnson and say, do you know Pastor Carter? Yeah. No, yeah. Who? Right? And I'm saying, no, man, hey, remember? Man, I was there and I was, yeah, man, I'm sorry, I don't know you. So we can't fool ourselves into thinking that I know God and going, hey, God, remember, and God's going to say, you might have passed me a couple of times, but we never hung out. We ain't never spent time together. I don't know you. Amen? That's a perfect example. I got pictures with this dude. Look, I got a picture right here. Just because you have a picture with somebody don't mean you know them. I do. So you took that, but I don't know you. We never hung out. Amen? So God is saying we got to make sure that we're hanging out with God. Look, perfect example. Let's get into the word. Amen? All right. So let's see. Do I have any more notes that I wanted to? Oh, yeah. Look, we got Mary and Mary. All right. Make a note of this, right? And the place where they laid Christ is called the Garden Tomb, right? So Mary and Mary are in the Garden Tomb. They're going to get the instructions from the angel. They're going to be obedient. They're going to go out. Most people want to be all upset. They're still stuck in the Garden of Eden, in the other garden, where Eve and Adam blew, and Adam and Eve blew it. If they wouldn't have did this, stop. We got Mary and Mary that didn't blow it. They went out, first evangelist, told the disciples about Jesus Christ, started evangelizing, and we stand in the church today because of what they did. Stop being upset, stuck in the past with Adam and Eve. Thank God for Mary and Mary and the disciples, and here we stand today. Because of what they did. Thank God for women in the church. You can't get any better than this. Here they are in the garden and they got it right this time. Verse 2, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came down, rolled back the stone and the door, and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning. His raiment was as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers, the guards that were there, did shake and become as dead men. They were afraid to death because the angel coming down and rolling back that big stone. And when you see the tombs, and it's possible next year we'll go to Egypt and Israel again. So in 21, we're going somewhere, Lord willing, those of us that are, you know, that choose to go and take that trip. But when they show you that big old tomb, as big as that door right there, and those big old, you're not just coming, sneaking in and moving that thing. It's a ruckus. It takes an earthquake, almost an earthquake, to move that thing. So the keepers, they're afraid to death, and they just are scared and just frozen. I don't know if any of you ever been just that scared where you're just frozen, so you don't want to move, amen? And you don't want to admit it this morning, but that's okay. You don't want to admit it this morning, but that's okay. We've been there, and I don't want to get into too many stories, but did I tell you as a kid, I'm telling the story again, huh? No, man, but I'm telling you, it's just, well, as a kid, I would have nightmares, right? I was always afraid of stuff. I wasn't, you know, I didn't grow up in the church. I knew God existed, but that's different, you know, when something's in your room, okay, at night. And if you move, it's going to get you. So you just stay there for hours. Okay, y'all ain't been there. That's the type of kid of God. Thank you, Lord, for delivering me. So I would share that with my family, my oldest daughter, Jay. She'd be like, Dad, but you so cool. I said, baby, that's what the difference that God makes. I said, Dad, you so cool. Nothing rattles you. I'm like, girl, you should have saw me when I was a little kid. Okay? The grace of God is amazing. Thank God for his grace. These guards, these well-trained guards, that body is missing, their life is gone. They're afraid to death. You know, their life is on the line. Verse 5, and the angel answered and said unto the women, first thing, ladies and gentlemen, underline this. Look at this. What does God tell us? Don't be afraid. Fear not. I don't know what you're going through today, and it's trying to rattle your cage, and it's trying to get you upset and stressed out, but God says that's not him. Don't be afraid of it. Trust God in the situation, family. What did I say? Pause, pray, ask for understanding, then strength. God, help me because I'm about to freak out. And then proceed in excellence. Don't be afraid. It's the first thing God tells them. Angel answered and said unto the women, fear not, for I know you seek Jesus, which was crucified. Amen. He's making it plain. It wasn't like he pretended to be. He was crucified. Amen. Make a note. He's don't be afraid. They are looking for Jesus. He was crucified. Verse 6, he is not here. Somebody say amen. Greatest champion of all times, unanimous, undefeated. He is not here, for amen, he is risen. As he said, underline that, as he said, because he told them. God's true to his word. Come and see the physical evidence that he's gone. Don't take my word for it. Come and see the physical evidence that he's resurrected. Amen. Family, there's physical evidence. It is a beautiful thing when you go to Jerusalem and you go inside that empty tomb. And guess what? Yes, it is empty. Thank God. It's a champion we serve, undefeated. Verse 7, here's our mandate as well. Go quickly. Amen. Underline this. Go quickly and tell his disciples. Make a note, family. If you're trying to figure out, God, I don't have a purpose in life. What should I be doing? You should be going quickly and telling somebody about Jesus Christ, that he's risen from the dead. Amen. That's our job. I mean, we do other things that this is our assignment. We have jobs. But within our job, we have an assignment. Okay, let me make that plain. Amen. So we have jobs, but within that job, we have assignment. And it's to go quickly and tell others that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Yes, we do know what happens after death. Either you go live with Christ in paradise, or you're separated from Christ in eternity, and that place is called hell. Amen? Amen. That's what the Bible teaches. Amen. I'm not making this up. As you study, you see, man, this thing is so real. And that's why I said go quickly, because time, as we found out last week, we don't have as much time as we thought we did. And our clock is going to run out one day too. Go quickly. We don't know who around us whose clock is ticking. God, that's why we got to appreciate of everyone. And I used to tell y'all all the time, I love y'all. Did I tell y'all? I've been told y'all lately, I love y'all. Okay? Just so there's no question about that. Somebody say amen. It's been a few years. It hasn't been a few years. I know it's been it is a new year. So I love y'all. Okay. And I appreciate you all. And you all know that we've been a family these last 8 years, and just we've gone through a lot together. But the love of God. Thank you, Lord. It's so important to have a church family that we're not walking alone. We're not dealing with stuff alone. We need the love of God. We need the love of you all. Amen. Jesus sent them out two by two. He said, go tell the disciples. Then later on, he calls them brothers. Oh, my gosh. Let me get this because I'm talking too much and we still got to do communion. All right. Amen. All right. Go quickly and tell his disciples he is risen from the dead. And behold, Jesus goes before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. The angel puts his signature on it. Make a note. The angel saying, look, I'm true. I'm sent from God. Listen to this message. You can live your life in fear and be afraid of what's going to happen next, or you can trust what God is saying and go and not be afraid and encounter Christ. Because that's what happens. And they departed quickly, verse 8, underline that, from the empty tomb with fear and great joy. They're still a little afraid, but they left. Amen? But they had great joy mixed with it too, right? Have you been afraid? When do we be afraid and have great joy? Maybe we're getting on a roller coaster, or we're getting ready to get married or something, or we're getting ready to get divorced. I don't know, whatever your situation is, you're a little afraid, but I don't know, you know. So it could be anything, you know, that we're having great joy and a little afraid with that. Somebody say amen. You having a kid, amen? Anybody have kids?
Amen.
Anybody ever seen a kid? All right, okay, all right. So you talk about being afraid with great joy, oh my gosh, and then they grow up and you're like, oh, why did I do that? Anyway, so I'm recording this, huh? All right, anyway. But look what they did. They departed quickly, verse 8, from the sepulcher, from an empty tomb. With great fear and with joy. We, you know, just one of those things where you're a little afraid, but I'm so excited. You're starting a business, right? Somebody say amen. You're a little afraid, but you got, ooh, I know this God's giving me. It's going to be great. But then look what they did. And they did run and bring his disciples the word. The word. Not opinions. Not fiction, not what they thought, but what the message was delivered to them. We have the word of God. We take people the word of God. Not opinions, not thoughts, not feelings, not emotions. They went on evidence, an empty tomb and the word of God. Not fiction, but fact. Verse 9, as they went, here's the revelation. Here's the first revelation. As they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them. So write this down, those of you taking notes. Your obedience leads to an encounter with Christ. When you're living according to the word, because people say, I don't know where God is. I never see God. You're probably not living an obedient life. Because here they are. He said, go quickly and tell the disciples. As they left on the word that was from God, they encountered God. So your obedience leads to an encounter with God. So if you're saying, well, God doesn't speak with me, then you got to make sure you're lined up with his word. Because his word makes it clear how you can connect, how you can talk, how you can communicate with God through prayer. Amen? And not just when we want something, but when things are going so well, you just say, that's called gratefulness. You just stop and pause and say, Lord, I've done nothing to deserve this. Matter of fact, I would have messed this up if it was just me. But Lord, I want to pause and thank you. Hey, man, that's called when you're having in those great seasons, it's called gratefulness. It's called thankfulness. And that's prayer to God, just saying, God, thank you. Thank you. I'm not asking for anything. Just thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Then when it gets tough, you pause and say, Lord, I need a little help here. But you're just not talking to God when things are going bad. Amen. I mean, we're the same way. You do something on somebody. Every time somebody calls, and we got call ID now. You see that? Oh, gosh. You know? You already know it ain't nothing. No good news. Back in the day, they would catch you slipping because, you know, you don't have call ID. You say, hello? Oh, man. Especially those of us that remember the rotary phones. You just pick it up. Hello? Oh, man. I wish I would not should have let it ring. Hey, you don't have you guys don't remember the old days when you didn't even have a message machine. So that thing just rang, and so you guys getting on your nerve, you got to answer. Wah! So, God doesn't want to talk to you. He see your caller ID, he knows you don't, you only call, why you, that ain't no relationship. We got to be tighter than that, right? Some of you had to tell your friends, look, we got to be tighter. You know I love you, but you just can't call me when you need something. Because I heard through the grapevine you got a bonus a couple of months ago. You ain't called and ain't tried to kick nothing back. And now you calling after your bonus is gone and you're like, hey, you know, I was hoping you could. Oh, come on, man. We got to be woman. We got to be better than, we got to be tighter than that. Hey, man, God's the same way. The Holy Spirit is a person. That's why it says you can grieve. The Holy Spirit can stress it out. Holy Spirit, see your number like, oh gosh, you gotta be, man, oh, you kidding me? Not again, I already know this. I'm not gonna even answer this time. Amen? Oh. Verse 9, and they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, rejoice. Somebody underline that. In the midst of the struggles, in the midst of the fear and the excitement, still rejoice. Thank God for right where we are. And then here we go. And they came held him by the feet, and worshiped him. That's that intimate relationship. When was the last time you just held Jesus by his feet in your bed or on the couch, whatever, and you just talked to God and you just worshiped God? See, that's the worship that God is talking about. It's the intimate relationship that you have where God says, okay, oh, you just want to hang out. Amen? Come on now. It's just times where you just want to hang out. You don't want nothing. Because I love you so much, I just want to hang out. Amen. And my husband's not in here today. You tell your wife, I just want to hang out with you. She know you got something in you. But no, honey, at this time, really, I just want to hang out. I love you, and I just want to curl up and just be at your feet and just appreciate you. Yeah. Amen. With no strings attached. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. They stop right there. Make a note, because you got to worship something. Family, we're built to worship. We will replace God with something or someone. We have to worship something. Cut on the TV today at your Super Bowl party. I'll be at one. We'll just be sitting. We'll be, watching the game. You look in the stands and folks are going crazy because you got to worship something. I'm going to appreciate the game. I don't care who wins. I don't have a team. I don't care. I appreciate just good football. I just hope the referees don't mess it up like they always do. But anyway, so, I'm not going to get emotionally attached because I'm not worshiping the team. And family, we got to know when to pull back, whether it's a business, whether it's a team, whether it's a person, where I'm crossing over and I'm trusting them more than I'm trusting God. I'm more excited about them than I am about God. I got to stop. I got to pause. I got to reevaluate. Man, what am I doing? Amen. But look what I love. I love this in verse 10. Then Jesus said unto them, be not afraid. Told them the same thing. Don't be afraid. He's talking to somebody this morning. I don't know what you're dealing with, but he's saying, don't be afraid. You got to trust God. Amen. Truly pause and trust God. Jesus said unto them, don't be afraid. Go and tell who? My brethren. Wait, pause it right there. Amen. He said, go and tell his brothers. Wait a minute, these are the same guys that ran out on you. They're still your brothers? He didn't say, go tell those punks that ran out on me. Go tell those betrayers. You know what? Go find the sellouts. Matter of fact, go communicate with the cowards that left me at the cross. Peter, especially Peter, because he said he'll never forsake me. And then he cussed the girl out and then he ran out. Go tell that coward that I want to talk to him. Come on, family. Look at verse 10. Then he said unto them, don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers. Sometimes we try and figure out how does God feel about us when we mess up, when we betray him. When we sell him out, when we do our own thing, and we're afraid to come back to God because he's going to be mad. No, God sees you as a brother and a sister. God is not upset with us. He died for us. He already proved his love because he died and resurrected. Some people are trying to prove their love, saying, I love you so much, and this, that, and the other, and say, but no, God's already proved it. He's already died and resurrected. Say, you're my brothers, you're my sisters. We all got issues. We all got struggles. If God loved us based on the stuff we did, we all in trouble. Somebody say amen. Amen. But it's because of what he did. He was already resurrected. He knew it was going to happen like that. He told them, go tell my brothers. I tried to explain to them I was going to resurrect on that third day. They didn't understand it, but now they do. And then if you make a note, Acts 1:3, he spent 40 days after his resurrection teaching them. Telling them to go. Wait for the Holy Spirit and then go. All right, I got to wrap this up. And y'all know I never finish. So maybe we'll continue this one next week. But or maybe we won't. Let me see. Okay, two options. All right, in verse 11 through 15, they talk about telling the story that the disciples came and they were asleep. Look at verse 13. Say that his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept, which doesn't make sense. Because if you sleep, how do you know what happened? I mean, come on, man. I mean, good grief. How do you know it was his disciples? We were sleeping. They came and said. And and if this come to the governor's ear, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money, offered him large sums of money, right? You got it today. People were taking large sums of money as opposed to serving Christ. They're serving the tool and forgetting they have an assignment to serve others. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews today. Oh, boy. All right, I'm going to finish this, and then we're going to take communion, and we're going to get out of here. Verse 16, the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus was and where Jesus had appointed them. When they saw him, they worshiped him. There we go again, underline that. And some doubted. So you got two types of people, some that worship God, some that walk away and doubt. It was then, imagine they're right there with Christ and still couldn't trust him. Some did, some didn't. So you can't be mad at people because that's just human nature. Some will trust Christ and some won't. Verse 18, Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power, that's why he's the greatest champion of all time. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Both of them. I got all of it covered. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. Underline all nations. Let me wrap this up. Let me show you what happened. Dominique, take us to Revelation 7 and verse 9. Underlined, he told the disciples, go and teach all nations. That's everybody. See, Christianity is an exclusive club, those that are committed to Christ, but it's open to everybody. Somebody say amen. Amen. Everybody's welcome. Everybody just won't choose to join it. That's a Revelation 7 and 9. We're going to close it right here. And then we're going to take communion and going to dismiss. Verse 9, and after this, this is there in heaven. This is John in heaven looking. The revelation that Jesus Christ gave him of the heaven. And after this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number of all what? Nations. All nations. He told them, go and teach all nations. They went. So people say, what about the person living? What about? It don't matter. God's got it covered. God is fair. God's not going to leave anybody out. Read the word. After this, beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number of all nations, all kindreds, all people, and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, deliverance. God has deliverance, which sit upon the throne and unto the Lamb. Make a note, everybody's going to be in heaven. Some of everybody. There's no room for any type of racist in heaven. You're not going to be there. If you think you serve a God and he's particular to one type of people, you're not going to be there. Because this is what the word says. Everybody's going to be there. Every tongue, every tribe, every kindred, every culture, every race is going to be there, represented, worshiping God. Verse 11, and all the angels stood around about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne of their on their faces and did what? Because you got to worship something. So we're going to be looking just like this in this room because we got some of everybody in here and we all going to be worshiping God like we did this morning. That's the God we serve. God doesn't discriminate. We do. God doesn't. And look what they're saying. Saying God is a blessing. God is glorious. God has all. When Mrs. Verse 12, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. And the men we've been studying, make a note, men, do this comparison. This is one of our worship scriptures. So make a note, Revelation 9 and 12. If you don't know where to worship, start at verse 12, Revelation 9 and 12. Just go home this evening saying blessing, saying amen, so be it. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. That's worship right there. And then do a comparison with 1 Chronicles 29 and 11. Let me say it again. 1 Chronicles 29 and 11. And that tells us God is the greatness, he's the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. It's none greater, none more powerful, none more brilliant, none more victorious, undefeated, and none more majestic. Undefeated champion of all times. So now we're going to pause and take communion. I'm asking the brothers to come up as I've talked too much this morning. Ask the brothers to come up. Ask the team to come up. And as the music is playing, just as we worship God, just God, you're a blessing. We're so thankful. You're the greatness. You're the power. You're the glory. You're the victory, the majesty. You cause us to pause. God, you cause us to pause to take communion, to never forget what you did for us. God, we got to worship something. You are the greatness, the victory, the power, the glory, the majesty. We love you, Lord. Our assignment is to go quickly and just let somebody know. Talking to somebody on your job tomorrow and say, hey, how was your weekend? Yeah, it was great. And I went to church and had a great time learning about Jesus Christ. Go quickly and just tell them about Jesus. And that's, leave it at that. You don't have to get deep. Just say it was great. Just let them know that Jesus Christ, although he died, he resurrected, he's alive and well. Came from heaven, came to earth, died, went to heaven, came back and told us how to get there. And yes, there is life, a beautiful life, after we transition from here. It's the great God we serve. On the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, he gave thanks, said, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. And after that, he took the cup and he drank. He said, this is my blood, which was shed for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. The book of Leviticus says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Jesus did the ultimate blood work. Those of us in here in the medical field, you know, in order to find out, the first thing they do is want to do a blood test, do some blood work to find out what's going on. Jesus did the ultimate blood work and said, they're covered by my blood. Their sins are covered. Thank you, Lord, for saving us, doing for us what we couldn't do for ourselves, rescuing us, giving us a way back to God. Thank you that you are a healer, Lord. We can trust you this morning. Thank you, Lord. Yes, yes. We love you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Jesus, you're all I need. Go on and elevate that which represents his body. Jesus had to pay a physical price for us to be free. He died for us. The least we can do is live for him. Go quickly and let others know. There is hope. There's many out there looking for hope today, family. Just share that, you know what? Heard a great message about Jesus Christ. How he died for our sins. There is life after death. It's paradise with Christ. There's hope. Research the resurrection. Research the results of the resurrection. He paid a physical price. And Lord, as we break our fast, those of us that are fasting, we thank you, God. Oh, we love you. We're not trying to be religious. We just want to grow closer to you, Lord. We want to be intimate. We don't want you to ever say, I never knew you, Lord. We're praying, we're fasting, we're asking, we're pausing, we're believing, we're trusting. We're spending time with you, Lord. We want to know you better. So bless this, which represents your broken body. Go on and eat. And then elevate that which represents his blood. As he died on the cross and shed his blood so we could be free. He just asked to call upon, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we invite Jesus Christ into our heart. Lord, come into my heart. Take over my life. Make me the person you created me to be. Lead and guide my life, Lord. Let me work for you. Give me wisdom. Give me understanding. Show me how to live for you as you live in my heart. And your death, burial, and resurrection makes that happen because you shed your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we thank you for that. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go on and drink that which represents his blood. Thank you, Lord.
Jesus, you're